We have a couple of weeks before we start our new sermon series on the Epistle of Philippians, and the title, as you can see down at the bottom, is something about joy, and we'll tell you in a couple of weeks how that title came about. But in the meantime, through the summer, we've been teaching on different topics, random topics about growing in Christ, because that's what the church is all about. That's what we are about. We're all about allowing Jesus to change us from the inside out so we become more like him, so that others would look at us and see Jesus. Not us, but look at us and see Jesus, so that they could join him on his mission as well and spend eternity with him in heaven. That's the mission of Jesus. That is what we are about. God wants to change the world through Campbell River Baptist Church. God wants to change the world through us here. He wants to use his church to introduce other people to Jesus. That's why the church exists. That's what we're about. We can never lose sight of that purpose. We have to keep that front and center at all time. That should be the engine that drives us forward. And everything that we do as a church and as individuals should derive from that motive. And we will be successful in the mission of Jesus to the degree that we allow him to change us. Period. Because we cannot do it on our own. That means that we have to allow Jesus to change us so that he can do his work through us. Now, as I've said, the path to this, the path to growth, is discomfort. We don't like to hear that. But it's true, the path to growth is discomfort. And that's why James, in James 1, 2 to 4, said this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Whoa. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why would we do that? Well, James goes on: "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance," and some of your Bibles say perseverance, "when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect." And that word perfect doesn't mean perfect the way that we think of the word perfect, but it means mature. We will be mature and complete, needing nothing. How many of you made plans this summer that did not go as expected? Anybody? A few of you, you made plans this summer and things did not turn out the way you expected. How many of you made plans in the last week that did not go well? Yes? A few of you? How many of you made plans this morning that have already gone awry? You saw yesterday, the weather was beautiful, and you thought, "I'm going to spend Sunday after church at the beach," and then look what happens. How many of you are living a life that you totally did not expect? You're thinking, "Man, I did not sign up for this. I did not sign up for this. Life did not turn out the way I wanted to." Ruthie and I had plans for our vacation this summer, and they were great plans. We were mostly going to stick around Campbell River. We were going to do a staycation. And ever since we've been in Campbell River, we love the summers here, and we just think, why would we want to leave in the summer? So if we take a summer vacation, we think, let's stick around Campbell River. That's the greatest place to be in the summer. And we had all our plans, and I was going to do lots of fishing. I was going to fill our freezer, and there was going to be a great pink salmon run, and I was going to have lots of, just didn't happen. You know, I don't plan those things very well. The pink salmon don't listen to me. But we're going to do some camping. We're going to explore the North Island a bit. There's a lot of places we haven't seen. And we had planned, made plans to go to Victoria with some friends and cycle the Galloping Goose Trail. We were going to go to Alert Bay maybe for a couple days. We did that a couple years ago. And how many of you have been to Alert Bay? quite a few of you. Alert Bay, we found out, is the friendliest place on earth. It is just an amazing place, and we could not walk down the street in Alert Bay without striking up a long conversation with the locals. It was so good, so we wanted to go back there and experience that again. And we had so many plans for our vacation, and we were going to do a lot of resting because we were both exhausted from a year of ministry, and we were going to work in the yard and in the garden. We were going to eat the vegetables from our fantasy garden and the fruit from our trees. None of our trees produced any fruit. We have a plum tree. We got one plum on it. We have two apple trees, zero apples this year. I finally took one and I shook it as a big old thing. And last year it produced 31. The year before it produced, I think, 5. The year before that it didn't produce any. This year it didn't produce any. And so it's biblical that I shook it and rooted it out and we hauled it away. But in our fantasies, we were going to stay home. We were going to experience the fruit of our gardens and we were going to pick blackberries, and we were going to freeze them for the winter. And most of all, we were going to rest because we were so tired, and in our minds, it was going to be so great. And then I got a call from my cousin. And we own what we loosely call a revenue property in a small town in Saskatchewan. It's a house that has 3 suites. And whenever we say revenue property in regards to our property there, we put air quotes around it. We say revenue property, and then we laugh uproariously because, there's a lot more outflow of expenses than there is income. And so we now decided it's best to just call it a rental property instead of a revenue property. Because it's one of those things that sounded like a good idea at the time. You know, let's buy a property in the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan, and or rent it out to somebody who might happen to be there. One of those things that sounded like a good idea. Anyway, I got a call from my cousin, and he looks after the place for us, and he was told me that the stairs that are going to the upstairs suite, they're exterior stairs, he said they're rotting away, they're falling apart, they're dangerous, you need to take care of this. And so Ruthie and I talked about it, and we didn't have the money to pay somebody to rebuild the stairs, and so we decided, well, I should go there and I'll rebuild them. And while I'm there, I'll paint the exterior of the house because it was looking like a slum in Harlem. And in my mind, I thought it's going to take just a little bit over a week to do this. And then I'd have about the same amount of time back in Campbell River. We'd be able to get rested up for the ministry year. Well, more great plans that went awry. We drove to Linden, Alberta, where I dropped Ruthie off at her mother's and so that she could spend some time with her mother and brother and sister and their families. And then I drove off to Outlook, Saskatchewan, where our property is. And the week that I had planned on turned into 2.5 weeks. And the first week, I battled the weather. They had the rainiest summer in decades in Saskatchewan, and I had the privilege of being a part of that history. And every day, I worked more than 12 hours a day, except for one day when the weather was so bad. It was a Sunday, and I went to church with my relatives there. And after church, I thought, well, I haven't seen my mom for a while, and so I decided to drive to another small town in Saskatchewan over 4 hours away and visit her and my sister and some, my uncle and aunt and some family members there. And it just so happened that the day I went there was would have been my parents' 58th wedding anniversary. My father passed away, as most of you know, in March, and it would have been their 58th wedding anniversary. And so I went there. I met my family at Tim Hortons, and very Canadian thing to do. And after that, I took my mom out for dinner and had a lovely time, and then drove back to Outlook. Well, the next day, I was able to start painting with the new paint sprayer I bought on this house. And I bought it at Home Depot, and I used it for a few hours, and I was so happy with the progress. It was so good. I thought, this is going to be a snap. I'm going to get this whole house painted in 3 or 4 days. This is going to be so easy. Well, the following day, it was too windy to use the sprayer. And I had called Chris Kuhn and said, should I use a brush? Should I roll? Should I spray? What should I do? And he told me, if it's a calm day, definitely spray. And so I did that. But if it's a windy day, you can't do it. Well, it was a windy day. The apartment next door, they had just painted jet black, and it was downwind. And I thought to myself, they probably don't want a black with yellow speckle building. And so I decided I'm going to have to just use a paintbrush. And so I bought a big paintbrush and painting, painstaking. It was so hot that day too. And I would inch my ladder a little bit and paint as far as I could reach and then inch it a little bit more. And it took 10 times longer to do the painting than it did with the sprayer. And every minute I was just telling myself, just hang in there, just do a little bit at a time, it'll be okay. This day is going to be over at some point. And I was telling myself, and it was such a potentially very frustrating day. Well, the following day, the wind had subsided a little bit, and so I got the sprayer out, and again, I was so happy I was making some progress, and then it broke down on me. And apparently, a seal was installed wrong at the factory. It was installed backwards, and it allowed paint to be sucked into the turbine, and it seized up the paint sprayer. And so I had to drive into Saskatoon, an hour away, to return this thing and get a new one. Anyway, to make a very long story short, that's how my entire 2.5 weeks went. I was fighting with the weather every day. It was raining off and on. And sometimes there would be such a downpour, and it would just come all of a sudden. It would be this big thunder clasp, and all of a sudden, whoosh, and I'm soaking wet. Well, every day there were battles that were threatening to discourage me. And each day that passed, I knew that another day of what was supposed to be a rest would be irretrievably gone. Now, it could have been a very frustrating time, but with each obstacle, I had a decision to make. Would I allow these things to discourage me, or would I trust in the sovereignty and the providence of my God, my Father, who loves me and cares about me? Several times a day, I asked myself these questions. Am I going to trust in my loving God, the sovereignty and the providence of a God who cares for me, or am I going to let these little things discourage me? And we had decided, Ruth and I had decided at the beginning that we're going to use the time to practice trusting God no matter what. And God was so gracious. He gave me so many opportunities to practice. You know, I would never have planned a vacation like that. Never. We were so desperately in need of rest. I was telling the staff for the last couple months that I'm just hanging on by my fingernails. I would have planned as much rest as possible. Well, at the same time I was working in Outlook, Saskatchewan, Ruthie was in Linden, Alberta. She was renewing relationships with her family members and just having a wonderful, amazing time of reconnection with them. And had we had our way, that never would have happened. That wouldn't have happened. That would have been a huge loss. And I got to know my cousin's family and my uncle and aunt a lot better. I stayed with my cousin and her family and got to know them. And I also reconnected with another cousin who I had reconnected with at my father's funeral, actually after 40 years. And it was just this wonderful time of God giving us relationships to renew, relationships to build. And God also sent me an angel to work with me every day. Not a real angel, but an 86-year-old man who was with me almost every single day. And I think there's a picture coming up here. That's Irvin Friesen. And that's the house. And I'll show you a few more pictures of that later. But he rents the garage on the property, and he stores some of his tools there, and he uses the garage to do some projects. And he assisted me every single day. He cut lumber for me. He encouraged me with his positive attitude. We had a great time talking together about all kinds of things. And it turns out he knew my mother when they were kids. They grew up in a different part of Saskatchewan, in the Stuart Valley area, Beaver Flats. And Irvin was a Mennonite, and my family was Norwegian, and my family was Lutheran. And my family, the Hovdested family, had a baseball team, and the Friesens had a baseball team, and the baseball teams used to play each other. And Irvin said my mother's team was made up of mostly her sisters. There was a big family, 9 kids in the family, and they're mostly girls. And he said, they sure were pretty. And they always beat us. And it turns out that my grandfather was actually Irvin's mentor. And so he told me all kinds of stories about my grandfather. And so I was able to complete my story a little bit more. And it's just such as this wonderful time that we would have missed had we gotten bitter and angry. We would have missed out on the blessing that God had for us. Well, when I realized that that project was taking a lot longer than I wanted to, I realized that I wasn't going to have a rest. And then so my only goal was I got to get back for the baptism last Sunday. I got to finish in time for that. And so I finished late Thursday night. It was about 9 o'clock. It was dark. It was raining. And I got cleaned up. And I was going to drive to Linden that night and pick her up. And she talked me out of it. And she said, get a good night's sleep. And so I left. The next morning, women, wives are wise. And I picked her up in Linden. We drove home. We stayed in Kamloops overnight. And then we arrived home Saturday night, exhausted, but knowing that we had persevered and used the time that God had given us to practice trusting Him. And then we enjoyed participating in this baptism. 6 people baptized, and it was a celebration. And we had to be okay with things not going as we planned them. And that's the thing about growing. That's the thing about growth. It won't happen if we don't persevere through the hard stuff of life. Growth will not happen if we don't persevere through the hard stuff of life. If we will not grow if we get bitter. We won't grow if we give up. Growing takes persevering through the hard stuff. Now, we spent considerable time when we went through when we studied the Epistle of James on this passage that I read earlier. But if you're like me, you need reminding. Every time I face a struggle, all that whole 2.5 weeks that I was in Outlook, Saskatchewan, I was meditating on this passage. James chapter 1, 2-4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. The hard stuff is not joyful. That's sort of twisted thinking. But it's an opportunity for great joy to be produced in our hearts if we trust God through it. It's an opportunity to see God at work as we practice trusting Him, as we grow in intimacy with Jesus, as He produces His life in us so that our relationships grow. And that's when real joy and peace comes from. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. In other words, don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't get despondent. Don't give up. Let it grow. Walk with Jesus. Allow Him to do a change in your heart as you're going through this difficult time. For when your endurance is fully developed, then you will be The word there means, perfect means mature. Then you will be mature and complete, needing nothing. You'll be satisfied in Jesus. It's like, I've got all I need from Jesus. Because you walked with him through that. You know, the reason we sometimes get angry or bitter or despondent and give up is because we think bad things shouldn't be happening to us. Right? We think bad things shouldn't be happening because if we obey God, if we're faithfully following Jesus, then these bad things shouldn't be happening to us, right? It's so not true. Let's take a look at Paul's life for a minute. The Apostle Paul. Paul obediently followed Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He obeyed him. Things did not go well for Paul, did they? To say the least, that's an overstatement. Things did not go well, that's an understatement. Things did not go well for Paul. Following Jesus led Paul into some very difficult circumstances. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23b. And let's just read some of the things that Paul went through because he followed Jesus. Verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have been put in prison more often. He's talking about than these super apostles who were opposing him. I've been put in prison more often. Why was he put in prison? He's following Jesus. I've been whipped times without number. Why? He's following Jesus. I faced death again and again. Why was he facing death again and again? Because he was following Jesus. 5 different times, the Jewish leader gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. You talk about a bad day. Once I was stoned. He was left for dead. Read the book of Acts. 3 times I was shipwrecked. How many people get shipwrecked 3 times in their lifetime? Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the city, in the deserts, and on the sea. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? Now that was the Apostle Paul who obediently followed Jesus. Things did not go well for Paul. But in another one of his letters, he said, I have learned to be content no matter what my situation. I've learned to be content, whether I've got plenty or whether I'm starving. I've learned to be content. Many of you have experienced this. And lots of you are going through some very difficult times right now. Some of you have relationship problems, and you can't fix them. You've tried. You've tried everything, and it just won't work. Some of you have financial difficulties, and you don't know how you're going to get out of this deep hole. Some of you have health issues, serious health issues, and the problems that some of you have make my little renovation story sound like a walk in the park. You've got some serious issues, some serious problems, some serious difficulties, some trials. Some of you are experiencing a deep loneliness. And some of you have deep pain from the past that you can't seem to grapple with. Others of you feel misunderstood. And maybe you're wondering why, if I'm obediently following Jesus, why are these things happening to me? You know, shouldn't God make the path easy and straight? And, you know, just this one trajectory and it's everything's good if I'm following Jesus? Sometimes I really wish that was true, but it's oftentimes not. The truth is, here's the truth, this is really important. With each obstacle, we are provided an opportunity to grow in maturity and intimacy with Jesus. And that, as James says, makes it all worthwhile. Each time we respond to difficulty in our lives, we grow. And James says, when we persevere through difficulty with our hearts open to what God could do through that difficult time, it makes it worthwhile. We grow in maturity, which means as we grow in maturity, our relationships get better. And that's when we receive joy and peace as we see God change us so that our relationships are better, both our relationship on the vertical level with God and our relationships on the horizontal level with other people. Now, Peter said a similar thing here, and this all happens in the middle of our trials. Here's what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He said, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you." How many of you, when a bad thing happens, just get surprised? I do sometimes. You know, we made our plans. We were going to have a restful summer. And then this happened, and surprise! It's not one of those good surprises. But we're surprised sometimes when bad stuff happens. Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials, listen to this, these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If we're going to grow in maturity, we need to know that difficulty, suffering, pain, hard times are a normal part of life. It's a normal part of the life of a follower of Jesus. They're unavoidable. And as long as we think that we shouldn't be experiencing things like that, then we will not grow. We'll remain stagnant. And it's going to negatively affect every single one of our relationships as a result. So we need to make a conscious choice to persevere through the hard stuff in our lives if we're going to grow in maturity and in intimacy with Jesus. And Ruth and I were talking about this last week and talking about, you know, how do we grow in intimacy with Jesus through trial? And Ruthie said, well, I see it like this. She said, I see it like a little boy who skins his knee on the sidewalk and he runs to mommy. And mommy hugs the little boy. He's crying. And his knee's bleeding. And she cleans it all up. She kisses his knee and, you know, makes it all better and puts a Band-Aid on it. And then she holds him tight. And what happens? Intimacy is developed. Closeness. Trust is developed. When I was desperately trying to get the renovations done on our house so we could have a rest, Ruthie and I talked every night, and we chose together to allow Jesus to meet us where we're at and kiss our boo-boos. And be okay that our plans did not work out as we had wanted. In order to grow in maturity, for us, we had to be okay with that. And even more than that, we had to realize that maybe God wanted to do something beyond what we expected or imagined through that. Because God is able, right? He is able to do immeasurably more than we might ask or think. And sometimes it comes in a different form than we might ask for, than we might look for. Every day we saw God blessing our relationships because we chose to not get bitter or despondent, but instead to trust in the sovereignty and the care and the providence of our Father God who loves us. And we haven't always done this. I don't want to make it sound like we're super spiritual and we've always, this is what we always do. We haven't always done this. Sometimes we have gotten angry and bitter and despondent. And what we saw then was the opposite. It affected our relationship. It affected our relationship with other people. It certainly affected our relationship with God. But as we've been walking with Jesus, he's been teaching us to be okay with not being okay, and then allow him to come into that situation and grow intimate with him. Learn to trust him. Learn to trust in the sovereignty and the providence of our Father God who loves us infinitely. And when we did that in our prairie experience, joy followed. Peace followed. I've got some before and after photos here. This is got a picture up there. Shelley? You don't have any? Really? They've disappeared. There's a before and after picture. There's several before and after pictures. I'm really sorry that they aren't there. But the one shows our house in the before state that looks like a slum from Harlem. And the paint is all flaking off it, and the siding is curled up, and you can't see this in photo, but some windows were leaking, and the stairs are rotting away, and the further away you get from that house, got from the house when it was like that, the better it looked. But you got up close, and you inspected things, and you could see things are not quite right. The after picture showed a remake over, new paint, brand new staircase that's sturdy, and windows that didn't leak, and it looks presentable, a place where somebody might actually be okay with living. And here's the thing, that makeover would not have happened if we had given up. If we had said, that's it, I'm taking my tools and going home. It's too hard for me. Which many times I wondered if I should do. But it's the same with us. God wants to do a complete makeover of our hearts and our minds, of our total lives. He wants to change us from the inside out so that we look more and more like Jesus all the time, so that we grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What Trish and Andre call the nine fruit. That's what Jesus wants to do in our hearts. And the only way is if we respond well to the discomfort in our lives. That's the only way. And when he makes those changes in our lives, other people will stand up, they will take notice, they will be attracted to Jesus, and they will want to follow Jesus into eternity. And that's what we are all about at Campbell River Baptist Church. Can I hear an amen to that? Yes. In Reinhold Niebuhr, is famously credited with what we now call the Serenity Prayer. And it's a prayer that Alcoholics Anonymous uses for its members, and other recovery programs use it as well. But I want to say this prayer together. Okay, so let's put it up on the screen there, and let's recite this together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. Amen.